Psalm 22, verse number 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from the helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. Father, would you help us this morning as we look into your word? We thank you for each person that's here, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in each life. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 22 is written by King David. And David is writing this psalm, and it's prophesying of Jesus Christ. If we were to take the time and read through the entire psalm, and we will look through portions of it this morning, you'll find where he is prophesying of Christ coming and being crucified. And he is writing this psalm, and obviously we can tell from just the first verse, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If you were to study Christ on the cross, you would find him saying the same thing. There was just one time in all of history, past, present, and future, where God turned his back on his son. And that was when his son became sin for us. And never before that and never again will Jesus have his back, God turn his back on his son. But we find here the psalmist is crying out to God. He's saying the same, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he is diligently and earnestly seeking God. He feels that for some reason here that through his pain and through the suffering that he's going through, that God has turned his back, that God has forsaken him. Without raising your hand this morning, I wonder if there's anyone here that's ever been at a place in their life and they felt forsaken. They felt alone. They felt that even God himself has forgot about them. You know, we live in a world where there's many that believe, that go through hurt, and the issues, the problems they're going through are their real pain, it's real hurt, and they're going through this, and they believe that all has forsaken them, and some even believe that God has forsaken them and doesn't care. There's some that believe because of the pain they're going through that God just doesn't care and doesn't love them. Well, here the psalmist is crying out to God, and he's asking God through this agony that he's in, why hast thou forsaken me? He says in verse 2, O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. He's pleading to God, and he feels that God just isn't there. Wonder this morning, have you ever felt forsaken? What do you do when you feel forsaken? You know, I'm so glad that we can find in the Bible that when we struggle, when we have pain, and even at times when we question God, like the psalmist here, it's not just leaving us there. Aren't you glad that Psalm 22 doesn't end at verse number 2? It makes us think that God doesn't care. Aren't you so glad that it didn't end at the cross when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It didn't end there. God resurrected his son. It didn't end. And it didn't end here for the psalmist in verse number 2 either. And if you're going through a time in your life where you feel forsaken, where you feel like lonely and that no one cares and that God himself even has forsaken you, I want you to understand it will get better. It doesn't end there either for you. Here we find in several verses throughout this psalm what to do when we feel forsaken. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do when I feel all alone? What am I supposed to do when God has forsaken me? I would submit this to you this morning, that there are some things that we are supposed to remember. Remember. Just think about that one word as I preach this morning. Remember. Remember. Here the psalmist is saying, God, I feel I'm alone. I feel that you've left me here with my sorrow. I'm crying out to you, and there is no answer. But he does something that's interesting. He begins to remember several things. And I want to encourage you this morning. If you're going through a trial and you think, God's forsaken me. If you're going through an area of your life and you believe that you're all alone and this is it, I want you to remember what the psalmist wrote here. He said this in verse number 3, But thou art holy, O thou that inhabit the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. I want you to remember this morning, number one, in verse number three, remember who God is. God is holy. In anything that you're going through in life right now, God is holy. God is trustworthy. God is fair. Even when you feel that life is not fair, even when you feel that what you are dealing with just is not fair, why would God allow such a thing? We must remember this, that God is a holy God. God is always right. God is never wrong in any decision that He's ever made. God is never wrong in allowing our lives to go through seasons of hurt and seasons of distress and seasons of pain. And even though the psalmist here felt that God had forsaken him, he realized this in verse number three. He immediately realized that God is a holy God. We need to remember who God is. God is the creator of this universe. God is the one that when there was nothing, He spoke and something existed. He's the one that took man and took the dust of the ground and formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed in man life, and man became a living soul. God is the one that took man and took a rib and made a woman out of a rib of a man and made a helpmeet for man. God is the one that said, "Let there be light," and light was there. And God's the one that hung everything in the universe just the way it's supposed to be. God is holy. And my friend, when we go through times and seasons of trials in our life and areas that we do not believe that God is fair, we need to remember that God is always just because He's holy. We need to remember, number one, who He is. Number two, I want to look at verse number 4 and 5. The Bible says, "Our fathers trusted in thee." They trusted. You know, we could just look right there. They trusted. You know, no matter what goes on in our life, we need to trust God. We need to believe that God is in control. I want to assure you of this. There's never been a time in human events that God said, "This has surprised me and I don't know what I'm going to do." There's never been a time in your life that a situation has happened where God was caught by surprise. God is to be trusted. Here we find he says, "Our fathers trusted in thee." They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. Number one, we need to remember who He is. And number two, we need to always remember what He's already done. You know, this is the psalmist who remembered that his forefathers, that they were taken captive in Egypt, and there were prisoners there, and there were slaves there, and God delivered them miraculously out of the hands of Pharaoh. They cried out to God in their bondage, and God delivered them. This is the same God that when His people were backed up against the Red Sea in one side, and Pharaoh coming in his armies on the other side, and they thought they were dead. They thought it was all over. They thought that it was a waste to come out of Egypt. It was God that opened up that Red Sea and delivered them from their enemy. It's the same God that when they were hungry, He put manna on the ground. Could you imagine that every single day? Your dinner, your lunch, and your breakfast is provided. You just go out of your tent and get it. Could you imagine a God that cares so much that He'd meet even the smallest needs in your life? Here the psalmist is remembering the God of the past, the God that's delivered us before. He's the same God that can deliver me from my trial now. It's the same God that when the Israelites were thirsty, He gave them water. It was the same God that when the Israelites needed a place to go, He would give them comfort and He'd give them safety and He would give them a land they didn't have to fight for. This is the same God that when the Israelites walked around Jericho, not one person had to fight and the walls came down. You see, here David is going through a trial. David is going through a time in his life, and he says, "God, why hast thou forsaken me?" No matter what you're going through, remember this, that God has delivered you before, and God is the same God yesterday. He's the same God today, and He's going to be the same God tomorrow. God never changes, and if He was good yesterday, God is still good today. This morning, we must realize, when we feel forsaken, we feel that life at times is out of control, we need to remember what He has done. Remember His blessings. Remember His goodness. You know, I believe it's good at times for us to speak and bless God for the many blessings in our life. Every so often, maybe on a midweek service, we'll have a time of testimony where someone can stand and proclaim God's goodness. It's good, it's healthy for us to remember God's blessings. You know, a lot of times we go through life and because of the trial we're in, we forget the many blessings that God has already done. There was a time when our son was born. Jacob was born about four weeks early. That was our first son. You know, we're trying to do everything right. I even went to Lamaze classes with my wife. I mean, I wanted to do everything right. Didn't pay attention, but I went there with her. I stood there by her side. I made fun of all the guys that were paying attention there in those classes. But we wanted to do everything right. We wanted to make sure that everything was perfect. My wife did everything right. This was the first time that she was going to have a child. And we even read the books, you know, and we had the what to call them and all these books to read. And we just wanted to make sure that this was right. We were planning the day and we were preparing for the day. And my wife called me early, obviously, about 4.5 weeks early or so. And she said, "I think my water broke." And I said to her, "What do you mean you think your water broke? Isn't this something you should know?" And she says, "Just get here to the house." So we get to the hospital, and sure enough, Jacob's coming. But we weren't ready for this. We weren't ready. We this wasn't the plan we had. And he was a little bit early, and the labor was difficult. And when he was born, they took him and they didn't let us see him right away. And he was just looked like a little alien baby. He had this, I call it this white cheese all over him, and it was just disgusting whatever was on this kid. He was early. And they took him and he wasn't breathing properly. And we saw the videos. We saw that when the baby's born, they take the baby and they lay the baby upon the mom, and you know, it's just love at first sight. And they didn't take Jacob and lay Jacob upon Michelle. They took Jacob and they took him into another room. And they continued to deal with Michelle, and I could tell she was a little nervous. You know, we need to see the baby. And it was several hours into this evening, and they hadn't let us see him yet. They were checking his lungs and checking to make sure that he could breathe. And I remember that time thinking, "God, you gave us a son. You gave us a child. Why then would you allow him to be born early with potentially problems?" I remember we were young and not long married, and our first child's being born, and I remember that agony sitting there thinking, "Where's our son?" I would go by the nursery and I'd try to peek in to see what they were doing to Jacob. And I'd ask the nurse every so often, "When's he coming back? When can we see him?" And I'd go back and tell Michelle. They said it'd just be a little while, and we wanted to know what was wrong with our son. 15 years later, we still want to know what is wrong with our son. But I remember with my wife, we cried out to God. We said, "God, we don't know. We tried to do it all right. We tried to do everything the way we were supposed to. We've prayed and we've prepared, and I'm not sure what's happening." And I remember for a period of time thinking, "God, why would you allow this?" Several hours later, they bring Jacob in and they lay Jacob upon Michelle, and it was love at first sight. But there was a period of time where I thought, "God, why would you allow something like this to happen?" You know, in those times I sat there, I needed to remember the many blessings that God had leading up to that time in our life. In that one event doesn't mean that God has forsaken me. One event in my life doesn't mean that God doesn't care. One event in my life, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love me. It's a part of a plan He has for me. And I needed to sit and remember all the many blessings that God had in my life. And if you're here today and there's an event happening in your life, you need to remember all that God has done for you in the past. Remember His many blessings. You know, I see here in verse number 6, the Bible says, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despise of the people. And they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, 'He trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let Him deliver him, seeing He delighted to him.'" I see in verse 6 and 7 here that when I feel forsaken, I need to remember what I really deserve. You know, He said here, "I'm just a worm." You know, the reality is this: I'm a sinner. I don't deserve God's blessings, and God chooses to bless anyways. You know, I don't deserve to be saved, but God still sent His Son anyway to die for my sins so that I could be saved. I don't deserve a wonderful wife. I don't deserve to pastor such a great church. I don't deserve the many blessings I have, but thank God, He blesses me anyway. You know, when you feel forsaken, just remember this: you don't deserve, but God loves you anyways. I need to hurry here this morning. In verse number 9, I see that "But thou art He that took me out of the womb, that thou make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly." You know, when you feel forsaken, when you feel all alone, when you feel that God doesn't care, you know what you must remember? You must remember that He sees the whole picture. We're just going through a season in our life, or we're going through an event in our life, but God sees it from the beginning, and He sees it to the end. God knows what we need, and that trial you're going through in your life, it may be something that God is doing to refine you, to help you, to encourage you, to mold you in being what He wants you to be. Here the psalmist says, you know, "I remember that God knew me from my mother's belly." It's the God that knew who I was. It's the God that loved me then. It's the same God that loves me now. Remember, He sees the whole picture. You know, we as humans at times when we go through trials, we just see what's before us. And it's hard to see anything else because what's before us is such a large thing. But here the psalmist says this: I know that God sees the whole picture. He sees my beginning. He sees my end. And He sees everything in the middle as well. Remember this, that God knew you from your mother's womb. God knows every single event that's going to happen in your life. And God said this in His Word, that He would never give you more than you can handle. If you're going through a trial in your life, if you're going through a difficulty in your life today, if you're going through something, you say, "God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why are You allowing me to go through this trial? Why is this bad in my life?" Remember this, that God said, "I'll never give you more than you can handle." That trial is not there to break you. And that trial is not there to cause you to reject God. That trial is not there to discourage you. That trial is there because God knew it's what you needed in your life. And He said, "I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the grace to get through any trial that you have." He realizes the whole picture. I want you to see this is encouraging here in verse number 14. The psalmist says, "I'm poured out like water, and all of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a posterd, and my tongue cleaveth to the jaws. And Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For the dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." Does that sound familiar? The psalmist is prophesying of Jesus Christ on the cross. Listen, when you feel forsaken, I believe here in verse number 14, 15, and 16, we must remember Jesus Christ. Oh, there's no trial that you've ever been in greater than what Jesus Christ had to do here on the cross. Oh, there's no burden that you'll bear that's greater than having to take the sin of all mankind and becoming sin. Here, Jesus Christ, He's the Son of God. He is perfect. He is holy. He is just. He is sinless. And they beat Him and they put Him on this cruel cross. Oh, my friend, if you feel forsaken today, remember what Jesus Christ did for you. Remember that He was lied about and He was scorned and He never said a word. They took Him into a place, and the Bible says they took their hand and they buffeted Him. They hit Him on His face, and He never responded. He did that because He loved you. As those men would take His beard and pluck His beard out from His face, He never responded. He went to the cross. He endured the pain because He loved you. Oh, if you feel forsaken today in your trial and in your problem today, just remember what Jesus Christ did for you. They took His beard and they plucked His beard out. They took a crown of thorns and they shoved that crown of thorns upon His head. And as that blood rolled down His forehead and upon His face, remember what Jesus Christ did for you. They took Jesus, and as they took Jesus, bent Him over and took this cat of nine tails, this whip, and they beat His back, the Bible says, and the skin on His back would become raw. Remember what Jesus Christ did for you. As they took Jesus and they led Him to Calvary's mountain, and they place Him upon that cross, and each time that hammer hit those nails into His hands and into His feet, each time that nail was struck, remember what Jesus Christ did for you. As He hung there on the cross and they mocked Him, as they parted His garment, as they said to Him, "If you be the Christ, come down off the cross." As they tempted Him, as even one thief next to Him said, "If you're Christ, then save us." And they mocked Him, and they were cruel. As His apostles that He had led for 3.5 years, they saw the miracles. Even one said, "God, Christ, I'll never forsake you." He's the one that left. He cursed Him. He denied Him. One betrayed Him with a kiss. And in the very moment when He became sin for you and for me, and God turned His back, and Christ on the cross said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me?" And He became sin so that you and I could have everlasting life. And He didn't come down off the cross. He did not quit. He endured the pain. He endured the affliction. He endured that sin because He loved you. My friend, this morning, God has not forsaken you. He loved you so much that He sent His Son, and Jesus Christ loved you so much that He stayed and did the will of His Father. If you're going through a trial today, if you're going through a time in your life and you say, "There's no one that loves me," I want to say, remember Jesus. Look to the cross and you'll find a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You'll find a God that loves you, a God that loved you so much that He gave His Son so that you could have everlasting life, to be redeemed back to Him. That's how much God loves you. Remember God. Remember Christ. In verse number 27, if you'd just flip over a page maybe in your Bible, verse number 27. The Bible says, "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before Thee." You know, as I read that portion of Scripture, it reminded me of something. There's going to be a day when all the ends of the world remember and turn. There's going to be a time when all the tongues and nations of the earth bow at His feet. And until then, we need to remember the end is not here. What we're facing today is not the end. What you're going through today is not the end. This past Saturday, I was leaving town, and I was reminded that this past Saturday was the year anniversary of my brother-in-law's death. Boy, what a awful day for me to leave my wife. And all day long as I was traveling and all day long as I was getting to Georgia there to preach this revival meeting, I thought to myself, my wife is hurting and I'm not with her. And I thought of my in-laws and I thought, boy, they're hurting and I'm not with them today. And I wish I could change my plans. I wish I could have got out of this just so I could be with the person that I love. But you know, I was reminded though this, that the pain that my family was remembering this past Saturday at the death of someone they loved, it's not over yet. That pain is not the end. That one occasion in their life, it's not the end. Oh, it hurts, and I'm not minimizing the pain, and it's difficult, and it's a struggle to get through. And just like the psalmist here said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He felt that it was over. He felt that it was the end, but he remembered something, my pain that I'm feeling now. It's not always going to be this way. Oh, this defeat that I feel in my life right now, it's not always going to be this way. What I'm going through, it's not always going to be this way. The week before I left in Georgia to move here, there was a faithful member of our church. She went into the hospital and she spent some time there and they thought she was having some stomach issues. And then the week we moved here, I got word that they diagnosed her with stomach cancer. I thought, my goodness. She was in the hospital and going through treatment, and then just 2 weeks after that, just a week or so ago, I believe it was, it was this past Saturday, her funeral, so just last week, she was in her hospital room and went up to use the restroom and took a few steps and leaned against the wall and suddenly was dead. She was diagnosed with stomach cancer, and just a few weeks later, she was in heaven. When I got word of that, I called her husband and talked to him on the phone a little bit and tried to encourage him. And in that conversation, he says, you know, Pastor, I know she's in a better place, and I know I'm going to see her again, and I know she's in no more pain. And I tried to call to be an encouragement to him, and he was actually being an encouragement to me. He was remembering that the pain he's going through, the loss of his wife, the cancer that hit her stomach, that is not the end. She's in heaven now, and she's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and one day, if you're saved, you'll be there with those that you love. Oh, listen to me. The trial you're in now, there is going to be an end. The Bible says that those of us that are alive and remain, that trump is going to sound, and we are going to be taken out of this world, and we're going to be in the clouds with Jesus. Those that have gone on before us that are saved and know Christ, their bodies will be resurrected from the grave, and we will be in heaven for all of eternity. Listen to me, what you're going through this morning, it is not the end. There's more to the story. You know, when we read a story or maybe watch a movie or see something on television and we don't like the tragedy that's coming, and we always like the good story, the ending, don't we? Like the books you read to your children as there's a problem, don't you like getting to the end when you can say, and everything was wonderful? A happy ending. You know, right now you say, how can cancer be a happy ending? And how can death of a loved one be a happy ending? And how could this problem be a happy ending? And how can this sickness be a happy ending? How can there be a happy ending when I feel all forsaken? How can there be a happy ending when I feel lonely? How can there be a happy ending when this is not the life I chose? I want to submit to you this. There's going to be a happy ending if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, because you will one day be at the feet of Jesus for all eternity, worshiping and glorifying Him, praising Him for who He is. The Bible tells us at that time there's no more death, there's no more sorrow, there's no more tears. There's no more hospital visits. There's no more cancer. There's no more pain. There's no more struggles. There's no more hurt. There's no more discouragement. There's no more depression. Why? Because we're in heaven, where God is holy. Listen, my friend, maybe there's some things that you're going through in your life. Maybe there's some trials. Maybe there's someone that you love that's going through a trial and you'd say, I don't know how to help them. there's a worker, a coworker, a friend, a neighbor, a family member, and you say, I just don't know how to help them. They feel discouraged. They feel alone. I want you to remind them, remember who God is. He's holy and He's just. Remember what He's done in the past. He's blessed before. He'll bless again. Remember this, we deserve nothing. But God in His love and His grace gave us His Son. Remember that God sees the whole picture. We just see this event in our life that's causing so much problems, but God knew you from the beginning, and God knows the end, and God is there through it all. There's never a time in your life where God has forsaken you. Remember this, that Jesus Christ loves you. If you're here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you. I plead with you, I beg with you. Trust Jesus Christ today. Realize this, that He died for your sins and He died a cruel death upon the cross. He became sin for you. Every sin that's ever been committed, Jesus Christ took that upon the cross. The Bible says if you'll accept His forgiveness, if you'd believe in Him, the death, the burial, God raised Him from the dead. The Bible says thou shalt be saved. If you've never cried out to Jesus, you say, I do not know where I'm going to spend eternity. I would like to be sure today as you leave, you know there is someone here that can open the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Don't leave here today without knowing Jesus Christ. Remember, the end is not here yet. This isn't over. It's not through. There's more to the story. It's not the end. The book isn't all done. They're not at the last page. There's still more to your life. If you know Christ as your Savior, you will be in heaven. The Bible says, "At all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before Thee." You know, it's a scary world we live in, isn't it? I had a little bit more time during the day this past week, and I was watching some events on the news and reading some things, and every day it just seems like it's pointing to the return of Christ more and more. I know Paul thought Christ was coming back, but I'll tell you, I really believe Christ is coming soon. He's going to call us out of this earth. He's going to rapture His church. He's going to rapture those that believe in Him, that have trusted Him, those that are saved. And that from that point forward, we are going to be with Him for all of eternity. Oh, the end isn't here. There's still more. Your trial, your hurt, your pain, this is not the end. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, there will be a time of rejoicing. There will be a time of singing. There will be a time of praise for all of eternity. We will worship before Him. God has not forsaken you this morning. Even when you feel like you're alone, even when you feel like God has turned His back, I want to encourage you, remember this morning. And know that you're not alone.